Welcome to the Beacon Way podcast, where your hosts, Jennifer Christensen and Adrian Wilkerson, talk shop about what really works in today's digital marketing world. As the co-founders of Beacon Media and Marketing, Jennifer and Adrian have been a part of digital marketing since its early stages in the mid-2000s. Tune in as they shine light on what works and what doesn't in the ever-changing world of digital marketing for small businesses.
Welcome back to the Beacon Way podcast. This is Jennifer Christensen, and really excited today, continuing this series on people that are making an impact in our nation and mental health that are really just having an effect. I love sharing positive stories. So this is the theme that we've been on. We've been getting great feedback on it. So thank you guys for listening. And really excited to introduce Michael Moody. So I met Michael actually at a different organization that we work with. And he has moved on to a mental health nonprofit that we're going to talk about today. And welcome, Michael. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So for those of you that don't know you, don't know, you know, where you're working, what you're doing, can you give us just a little synopsis of the mental health nonprofit, what you guys do, and how you're part of it?
Sure. So I work for a mental health nonprofit called Prairie Care Fund. We are located in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and our whole kind of angle as far as what we do is that we work directly with Minnesota schools to provide funding for mental health programs and initiatives within the school setting. And that can look like anything from curriculum, books. We've given out fidgets. We've given out heart math monitor watches, different things that the funding can go towards that is strictly mental health related. We, this year in 2023, got 69 grant applications, which is the most applications we've ever received in 1 year, totaling about, I want to get the number right here, 1.5 million in grant requests. And wow. We were only able to award out 220,000. So huge gap in what we can give to our schools and the need that's out there. So we're continuously trying to figure out ways to get more dollars in the door so that we can get closer to fulfilling that full grant request each year. So lots of work to do. We've been making a huge impact, but still a lot to do.
Yeah. So how this founded, and you said 2015. So what was the impetus for that? Was it seeing that there wasn't mental health access in schools, or like what was the origin of how this started?
Yeah. So we are the nonprofit arm of an organization called Prairie Care. So they are a mental health clinic and hospital system within Minnesota. And a lot of their partial programs work with schools. Students that are struggling in school can come to these programs. It's a day program. And in that work, Prairie Care realized that there is a need within the schools to provide something. Now, they provide outpatient services, so they can't be in the school setting providing those things. So they thought, let's start a foundation. But like I said, in 2016, the foundation was started as a way to essentially provide mental health services within a school setting, but leave it autonomous to those schools to tell us what they need versus us coming in and saying, these are the services that we're going to offer. It's evolved since then to really just be a great resource for schools. We joke at the nonprofit that our goal is to put Prairie Care out of business someday, because the whole point is that we want to be able to equip students and staff with what they need to cope with a mental illness so that they don't need to seek out the services that Prairie Care offers or another mental health organization. So we wouldn't ever just joking about it.
No, I totally get that. There's always going to be a need, but 53% between 14, I'm sure you know this really well, but between 14 and 18 that are identifying as depressed or have, you know, anxiety, and to know that's half of the population, just we're definitely at an epidemic level. So I'm really glad you guys are doing what you're doing.
And there's so many statistics out there. And yeah, it's when you really dive into it, it's really staggering to see some of those. And yeah, the 50% is absolutely just disheartening that there's so many suffering, yet there's not resources out there for them. So,
yeah. So when you say that the schools come to you, I think that's a pretty fantastic model. So they come to you and say, this is what we see that we need. And are you helping like in schools from elementary to high school? Is it just high schools? Like, where's the focus?
Yeah, it's a whole range. We focus on all the way up through your, 12th grade in high school. But we've had all sorts of grade levels seeking grants. It's a pretty relatively easy process. Each fall, we have a grant application that is available for schools to fill out. They essentially fill it out. Like I said, it has to strictly be focused on mental health. And it has to be focused on things that aren't like a capital campaign, meaning we can't add a wing to your school and we can't do those
right.
Minor modifications. Like we have had some schools that have put in what they call purple rooms or calm rooms. So it's a space for a student to go to if they're just not having a great day and they can go and calm and regulate themselves. So there are obviously some modifications that happen there, but we're not doing large additions. But yeah, they come to us and essentially spell out what is the need within their school. And then from there, there is a grant committee within our organization that oversees all of the applications that are coming in, and they narrow it down based off of what we've seen as successful things in the past. And a lot of the requests are very similar to other programs or initiatives that we've seen come across our desk over the years. And we're able to say, yes, we absolutely know that's going to work. Let's fund it. If it's something that we're on the fence about, we will help guide them in that. That hasn't proven to be successful in the past, but here's what you could do to modify that. So we're really trying to work with them and make sure that we are getting them the help that they need if we can.
Yeah, I love that. What is there? Is it something that you can share with the listeners? What has been the most successful? Have there been certain things that you've seen that have made a pretty big impact, or that maybe just even if it's anecdotally, that might help somebody else in a different school setting across the country?
Yeah. Oh gosh, there's a whole like list of things that we can say on our application. It is literally, I think, an entire page of things that we list off as having been successful. Some examples that I can give would be specifically mental health first aid training for both students and staff. It's a training that can be offered usually through a third party organization, but our grants have funded that training. And it essentially is equipping both students and staff with the skills that they need in order to identify an early onset mental illness, either within themselves, their peers, or their students. And that has been really successful because teachers these days, as we all know, have so much on their shoulders. Classroom sizes continue to grow each year. The stress of the learning environment continues to become more and more on these teachers, and we're asking them to essentially take on being caretakers of youth. And we have to remember that students are spending most of their time in school, 9 months of the year, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, they are at school. So equipping them, the teachers and staff, with the skills that, like I said, that they need in order to identify an early onset mental illness or behavioral issue, it is really proving to be successful because they finally feel empowered and equipped with stepping in and getting that student the help that they need versus not knowing what to do in that situation. And the student either becomes worse or the situation becomes worse, and they've got so many other things they're trying to figure out. They don't know how to handle it. So that's been a really successful one. We've had, I'm trying to think through some of the good examples. There's peer-to-peer training that students have gone through, and some schools have implemented, blanking on what the actual term is of the kind of initiative, but essentially it's students that wear identifiable things. So the most common thing is a green bandana on their backpack. Green is the color of mental health awareness. And so by having this bandana on their backpack, a student that might be struggling knows that student is trained in peer-to-peer like mentoring, if you will. And so that student can go up to them and say, hey, I'm struggling. And that person that's been trained in it knows what to do to get that student their help.
A national thing that's become known?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure there's variations of it throughout the whole country and world. We've seen the green bandana. We've seen a school do water bottles that have the green mental health ribbon on it. So if anybody has that water bottle, you can go up to them and they're a safe person to speak to. So I'm sure that there's adaptations of it throughout the country, but that has been really successful because, again, you're equipping. Sometimes it's hard for a youth to go up to an adult and say, hey, I'm struggling. But if they can go to a peer and say, hey, I'm feeling this way, and that peer knows how to handle that and get them eventually to an adult for the help that they need. But yeah, I would say those are probably two of many successful things that I always like to highlight, because I think they're just so impactful. And there's different things, like we've had schools do like series of books that go home with the students each year that talk about mental illness and different things on how to handle that. So yeah.
That's wonderful. So I know I met you when we were working at a different organization that is more like therapy clinics, and then you switched to nonprofit. So what really drew you into this world? What motivated you to want to be involved?
Yeah, I think mental health in general, there's still to this day such a stigma around it. And I think there's people we know, just based off of statistics, that there are people struggling and there are not enough resources in this world. For-profit entities are doing just fine. They're able to have the services in place that people need, and they're able to reach those people in a different capacity. Nonprofit work, what drew me to that is just really feeling fulfilled in that direct impact to who's benefiting from those grants that we're offering. And I think it's impactful to see someone get the help they need in the services on a for-profit side, but it's even more impactful to see the change that is happening within our school settings with these grants. I think we often forget that, like I had said before, students are spending most of their time at school, majority of their youth years. And so we want to make sure that those environments are really equipping them with what they need. And so for me, what drew me to the nonprofit world was really just that fulfillment piece and really feeling like there's a different difference that I can make here by being in this world. And with a marketing background, it was like, this is awesome. I want to be able to spread the word of, we have this money, we have these resources. Let's work together and make this happen and really get the word out that we're here and we want to help.
Yeah, I love that. I really like the idea of, like you said, there's lots of different therapy clinics and lots of different opportunities. And certainly that is highly valuable. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But knowing that you're doing things that are such a direct impact, like the peer-to-peer piece and things like that's affecting people's daily lives. And I think even the culture a little bit, right? If it's being talked about, if it's being accepted, like that, to me, that has a bigger impact on reducing stigma, even from that level. Mm-hmm. Then when you become an adult, and if you've never heard about it, like I know in school, like when I was growing up, nobody ever talked about that ever. No. It was not really a thing. I remember our principal came in one time and did like a breathing exercise meditation, and everybody's like, you're crazy. Yeah. It was so out there during that time. So I love seeing the conversation. Yeah. So this is just a personal thing, Michael, but I am so impressed with the marketing I've seen you do, like for the events and raising money and the galas and everything. So is that something you've always been involved with, is doing event marketing?
Yeah. For especially having been involved with this nonprofit, I'm naturally just a very creative person, and that I like to tell the story of how I came to be in marketing. I didn't go to school for marketing. It wasn't something that I ever thought I would be in. My degree is in interior design, and that just happened to be at the time of my life what I wanted to focus on. But again, everything that I've done in my career has always had a creative angle. And so when I had the opportunity to join a marketing team, just simply because I had an interest in being creative, it grew a passion from there. And one of the things that I absolutely love is taking the work of someone specifically, let's the fund, the nonprofit that I'm with. There's people doing the marketing before I came on board, but that wasn't their skill set. That wasn't their passion, and they did great. But it's like this personal high, if you will, for me to take what they did and elevate it, and knowing that there are certain things within marketing that are going to catch people's eye. And the whole point of what we're doing is we want people to get involved with us. We want people to help us fund these grants. And so you have to make it enticing. You have to make it fun. You have to make it interesting. Otherwise, it comes off as like just another nonprofit and floating in the world. And so it's been fun. Our last gala that we had, we've applied themes to our galas, which has really been successful in getting people excited about them and involved in it. And we pushed the boundary a little bit with this last gala as far as the imagery we were using and just everything that we did with it from a marketing standpoint, and it paid off. People were like, I immediately signed up for tickets because I saw the imagery and was like, this is going to be an awesome event.
You did such a great job. It definitely caught my eye. And I was like, what kind of awesome event are they doing right now?
Yeah.
That was so good.
It's been fun. And I always talk about it's elevating things and buttoning them up. There's people, I think people respond to things that have this kind of nice packaged look to it. That's marketing in general, is making sure that things are nice and polished and enticing. Yeah. So I've always had a creative edge to me and I've always had a passion for that. And I love thinking of things from different angles or outside the box and really giving it a new twist.
I'm excited to see what this year's gala looks like for sure. And I don't know if we talked about this when we met, but my first career was interior design. Yeah, it was my first career for many years and I loved it. There's times I think, okay, that would have been a simpler way to just stay in that. It would have been a little bit easier than to go into marketing or to agency work. But I think there's a lot of us, when you're creative, you're just looking for where can I express that? And I think both you and I have the idealistic bent of you want to make an impact. It just makes you feel good when you get to use it for something positive. So awesome. I'm not surprised that we had that in common. So I guess to wrap up, so from a vision standpoint, you guys are impacting schools. You're giving schools different grants for pieces for mental health, depending on what is best going to apply to them. In your perfect world, a couple of years from now, we're having this conversation again, is the driving force that you want to be able to fund more what people really need and they're asking for? Is that really the piece, or is it honing in maybe more specifically into one or two programs? Where do you see it going? What's your goal?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like to share with people in talking about why we're doing this work, why we continue to do this work, and what our end goal is here, some statistics that I like to share, they're hard statistics, but they are important ones in understanding what drives us here at the fund. We know that suicide is the second leading cause of death in people age 10 to 25. And when you hear that and you hear those ages, you just think, my gosh, 10 years old to 25 years old, those are young people who second leading cause of death is suicide. When you hear things like those that are part of the LGBTQ plus community are 4 times likely to commit suicide than their peers. You hear these numbers and these statistics and you think there is something going on here in our world that we're not addressing. And so again, our hope is that those numbers reduce over the years, the earlier that we can get resources in place for these youth in our lives. And we, of course, would love to do everything under the sun, but you do have to focus on certain things. Right now, our focus is strictly just being that middle person in passing the funding on. We raise the dollars and we give it to the schools. We don't necessarily lead any of the programs, but I think our goal down the road would be to expand to offering things like mental health first aid training or certain programs that we can say this is a proven effective thing within schools and we really think that you'd benefit from this. Here's this nice buttoned up package that we can offer you. So we're always looking at ways to expand, and right now we're focused on youth, and there's been talk about do we expand that into early college years, knowing that that is such a tough transition for so many people. You're having to be forced to grow up and be an adult. And these students are going off to potentially a school out of state that they're not familiar with. And it's a lot of jarring things that happen at age 18, I think. And we at Prairie Care Fund are very much open to possibly expanding what we do and who we serve. It's just a matter of making sure that we do it when it's right and make sure that it is right, that it's solid in whatever we do.
I appreciate what you're doing. I'm glad I got to find out a little bit about it. I hope it inspires our listeners too, that if this is something they're thinking about, how they can make an impact. I don't know how similar. Do you have any idea, Michael, how similar like this fund is to other states or other places?
I'm sure that there are organizations out there that exist like us. I can say in Minnesota, we have yet to come across one that is as similar to what we're doing. where it's so focused on schools and youth within the schools and mental health in the schools. But there's so many great organizations out there, both in other states and just nationwide, that are offering all sorts of mental health resources. And I would just say that if there's people out there that are looking to get involved, there's so many options, and just anything you can do to help any nonprofit, especially in the mental health world, is just tremendous, because it really does make an impact, and it's going to change the future of generations to come if we can get these things in place.
Awesome. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Beacon Way. We hope you enjoyed it and had some good takeaways. Please subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And if you've enjoyed the show, please give us some stars on your podcast channel of choice. For more information, tips, and notes from the show, check us out at beaconmm.com. For more information on how Beacon can help market your business, email us at welcome@beaconmm.com.